The topics and opinions expressed in the following show are solely those of the hosts and their guests and not those of W4CY Radio, its employees, or affiliates. We make no recommendations or endorsements for radio show programs, services, or products mentioned on air or on our web. No liability, explicit or implied, shall be extended to W4CY Radio or its employees or affiliates. Any questions or comments should be directed to those show hosts. Thank you for choosing W4CY Radio.
Draw me close to you. Never let me go. And lay it all down again. To hear you say that I'm a friend. You are my desire.
Good day. The Almighty Creator desires a deep personal relationship with you. If you die as an unbeliever, your spirit will live for a very long time as a disembodied ancestor spirit or demon. The Creator has said regarding unbelievers, "Why would I want someone to spend eternity with me when they do not believe I exist?" If you die as a believer without any form of relationship with the Creator, you will end up in the outer darkness. A cold, black, terrible place with weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth, your teeth, the trash heap of heaven. Father has said concerning such believers, "Why would I want someone to be close to me in heaven, which inherently means I will give them great prestige and authority, if they do not have a deep personal relationship with me and have not proven to me that they can be trusted in this life?" In stark contrast, if you make a real effort to seek relationship with the Almighty, the rewards in the life to come are huge. A glorious resurrected body, great prestige, great authority, and a permanent close relationship with the Creator and with Yahushua, who you may mistakenly know as Jesus. To put this all in context, the Almighty has said, "I created human beings, this planet and this universe, for men and women to be my friends, my companions, to explore and learn and develop together. My greatest grief is that almost no person understands this, let alone seeks such a relationship with me." Today we're going to discuss the miraculous planning of the death of Yeshua, where, how, and what. Overview of the program. The broadcast examines in detail the factors relating to the miraculous planning of the death of Yeshua. It is noted that Yeshua was a Hebrew and a Yehudite, in other words, a Jew. Yeshua was born on the first day of the Feast of Tabernacles. We then look at the Ark of the Covenant. We talk about Ron White, who found the Ark of the Covenant in 1982, and discuss Skull Hill, and that Yeshua died on a stake precisely above the Ark of the Covenant. It is stressed that the truth about the death of Yeshua above the Ark was unknown until 1982. The site concerned is over a kilometer from the temple through a warren of tunnels where Yirmiyahu or Jeremiah hid the ark. It is noted that various people have to have been led by the spirit of Yah in order to put all this together. It is stressed that Yah had to remove his spirit from Yeshua in order for Yeshua to die. It is pointed out that an earthquake split the rock and that Yeshua died of a broken heart and his side was pierced. Only the female chromosomes were present in the blood that was found, and we note also that Yeshua died without sin. The veil in the temple was rent as Yeshua died, and also note that Yeshua was filled with the spirit of Yah. Yeshua was instantly resurrected on death and was the Lamb of Yah and was and is 100% human. It is stressed that Yeshua was born of a virgin, so there were no bloodline curses. It is pointed out that Yahuda, Judas, did Yah's will, and that Yahushua deliberately provoked his own death. It is noted that Yahushua only ministered for 3.5 years, and that he could have called for 12 legions of messengers or angels. Finally, we will examine the state of your relationship with the Almighty Creator. By way of introduction, who am I? James Robertson. I have a doctorate in engineering, and I'm a strategic management consultant. I have over 29 years' experience of actively seeking to draw close to the Almighty following a dramatic encounter with him on the 12th of March 1993, when he spoke to me audibly in a locked room, and I knew for certain that he was real. I was confirmed in the Anglican Church at the age of 13 and served as an altar boy for a number of years from the age of 19. Eventually, married to an unbeliever, I became disenchanted with the hypocrisy in the church and backslid to a point where I was not even sure the Almighty existed. In this backslidden state, I embarked on an adulterous affair, which when it ended, left me desperate and suicidal. It was then that the Almighty spoke to me, and I realized that my intellect had gotten me into a right mess, and I chose to serve him faithfully for the rest of my life. In doing this, I applied my deep-seated aversion to failure, born out of an accident in early childhood, coupled to my engineering and military training of rigor and preventing failure, to my seeking of knowledge about Father. This journey led to numerous supernatural experiences, prayers answered, and clear communication with the Creator that forms the basis of what I teach in these programs. What is End Time Issue Ministries? It's the organizational vehicle for delivering my message through email articles, websites, this radio program, physical books, LinkedIn, Facebook, YouTube, SlideShare, and Twitter. What is this program? The Creator desires a deep personal relationship with you. It represents the essence of my message. See the website www.endtimeissueministries.org for more information. That's www.endtimeissueministries.org. See also www.relationshipwithcreatorradio.com. Click on the show on the top menu and podcasts in the drop-down for previous broadcasts, or search on Google for, quote, Relationship with Creator Radio, unquote. The URL again, www.relationshipwithcreatorradio.com. So we're going to look at this article that I wrote in 2010. The reference is 2020.10.01. The Miraculous Planning of the Death of Yeshua, Where, How, and What. In summary, Yeshua, meaning Yah is salvation, incorrectly called Jesus, died on a stake exactly over the Ark of the Covenant that had been hidden roughly 616 years earlier by Jeremiah, in 589 BC in a cave 20 feet below the execution site in solid rock. The earthquake as Yeshua died split the rock from the stakehold to the top of the Ark, so that when the soldier pierced the side of Yeshua after he died, blood and water ran out all the way down to land on the mercy seat of the ark. This ushered in a new priesthood, a new covenant, and a new atoning sacrifice for sin. All told, a major miracle of pre-planning by the Almighty Creator with full knowledge of Yeshua. This article discusses the details of this miracle. And folks, you really need to understand what I'm going to share with you in the next few minutes in order to fully understand Yeshua and how he accomplished what he accomplished. Introduction. Biblical accounts of the death of Yeshua contain a number of facts that do not seem important. So read, for example, an earthquake and the soldier piercing Yeshua's side. But in fact, these are all part of a miraculous plan initiated by Father Yah at least 1,476 years earlier. So point number one, Yeshua was a Hebrew. The name Yahushua means Yah is salvation. Yah, the eternally self-existing, is the true name of the Almighty. Jesus, the Lord, and God are pagan, blasphemous names and should not be used. The correct names of all the Bible characters are not Greek derivatives as commonly used. They're derived from Hebrew. These corrected names are used throughout my writings. Regarding Jesus, it is important to realize that this is derived from the Greek Iesus, meaning blessed of Zeus. Hebrew was a Hebrew, Yeshua was a Hebrew, and cannot have been called Iesus. Yeshua is translated Joshua in the Old Testament, but this is also inaccurate. It's vital to understand that Yah is salvation. Clearly states that Yah, and not Yeshua, is responsible for salvation. Yeshua was born on the first day of the Feast of Tabernacles. The article that I'm using for this broadcast was originally written on the 3rd of October 2020, which was the first day of the Feast of Tabernacles in that year. In this context, it is important to note that Yeshua was born on the first day of the Feast of Tabernacles. So if you want to celebrate his birthday, that is when to do it. Christmas is a pagan, that is, satanic feast, the birthday of the sun god. Point number three, the Ark of the Covenant. The Ark of the Covenant was constructed in the wilderness under direction of Moshe, Moses, as directed by the Almighty Creator, see Exodus 25 and 37. The Ark was located in the tabernacle in the wilderness and then in Solomon's temple in Jerusalem, and was subsequently hidden by Jeremiah in 586 BC before the invasion of Jerusalem by Babylon, and it was found by Ron White in 1982. So folks, really important to understand that Yeshua was born on the first day of the Feast of Tabernacles. Christmas is a horrible thing in Father's sight. There's a whole lot of material about Christmas on the website. Please read it. Don't observe Christmas. And then the Ark of the Covenant, I'm going to talk a bit more about that in a moment. But it's absolutely central to understanding what I'm sharing with you. It's so important to understand that Yeshua died as part of a very carefully constructed plan of the Creator and Yeshua, that he fully knew what he was coming for and why he was coming and how things would happen. It gives you such a different understanding of these things. Regarding the Ark of the Covenant, the Jewish Virtual Library reports that, quote, the construction of the Ark is commanded by God to Moses while the Jews were still encamped at Sinai, Exodus 25 and 37. The Ark was a box with the dimensions of 2.5 cubits in length, by 1.5 cubits in height, by 1.5 cubits in width. A cubit is about 18 inches. It was constructed of acacia wood and was plated with pure gold inside and out. On the bottom of the box, 4 gold rings were attached, through which 2 poles, also made of acacia and coated in gold, were put. The family of Kehath, of the tribe of Levi, would carry the ark on their shoulders using these poles. Covering the box was the kapparot, a pure gold covering that was 2.5 by 1.5 cubits. Attached to the kapparot were 2 sculpted cherubs, also made of pure gold. The 2 cherubs faced one another, and their wings, which wrapped around their bodies, touched between them. Unquote. See the Jewish Virtual Library, the Ark of the Covenant. So you can Google Jewish Virtual Library and then look for the Ark of the Covenant. Artist's rendering of the Ark of the Covenant based on the description by Ron Wyatt. The only human being in this age known to have seen the Ark and lived is on the web page on the subject in the top of the menu. So there is this article that I'm presenting to you is also represented on the website near the top of the menu. And there are quite a few images, photographs, and artists' renderings that I'm going to refer to, and I suggest you go to the website and look at that page because they're all there. In the context of this article, the significance of the Ark is that the induction of a new high priest required that the blood of the offering be sprinkled on the mercy seat, the lid of the Ark. This was also required when the covenant of Moshe was initiated, and was also required every year on the Day of Atonement, Yom Kippur, when the blood of the Ram of Atonement was sprinkled on the mercy seat as an atonement for the sin of the people, and then sprinkled on the people. When the Ark disappeared, it was no longer possible to induct a legitimate high priest, nor was it possible to make an atoning sacrifice for the sins of the people. Yeshua died in order to make these rites possible again. But this is only possible if blood was placed on the mercy seat. That is the essence of this article. This was also the only way that a new covenant could be initiated. So, folks, this is really important. From the time of the exile to Babylon to the time of Yeshua's death, there was no offering for sin. There was no way of inducting a new high priest. So the high priest at the time of Yeshua was not legitimate. And the people were unable to get free of their sin. Now, Father maybe made a way for those who really loved him and were serving him to get free of sin. But the key thing to realize is that this was only possible by Yeshua dying in a very specific way, at a very specific location, in a very specific, as I say, in a very specific way. And if you understand that, you will understand Yeshua in a completely different way. I then want to talk about Ron Wyatt in 1982. The Ark of the Covenant and the execution site were discovered by Ron Wyatt. See wyattmuseum.com, Ron Wyatt, in about 1982, and affirmed by Jonathan Gray. See www.beforeus.com, Surprising Discoveries, and https://anchorstone.com, Jonathan Gray's Surprising Discoveries, for more information. Ron Wyatt was a spirit-filled and spirit-led amateur archaeologist who, amongst other things, found Noah's Ark, the Ark of the Covenant, the Red Sea crossing site, the real Mount Sinai, Sodom and Gomorrah, and numerous other findings that proved the historical accuracy of Genesis and Exodus and other biblical historical packages. Jonathan was a professional archaeologist and believer. He died about 2 years ago, who initially doubted Ron's claims but set out to refute or verify them and eventually came to recognize their validity. Jonathan went on to publish a series of books and videos that supported and confirmed Ron's findings. Jonathan also undertook his own spirit-led research and has published numerous books. See beforeus.com, shopcart ebooks.html. In particular, his books on Dead Men's Secrets and its update provide accounts of a huge number of archaeological finds that prove that the world before the flood was highly sophisticated and that mankind truly was created to be highly powerful and highly intelligent. Jonathan has also published books on the world before, during, and after the flood and on many other topics. If you cannot access the books at the link above, I can assist you. Bound versions of many of the books are available on Amazon. Skull Hill, Golgotha. Ron Wyatt was shown that the Ark of the Covenant was located directly below an escarpment with the appearance of a human skull, known as Skull Hill or Golgotha, as in Matiyahu 27:33. Matiyahu means gift of Yah, generally translated Matthew. And Yehuchanan, Yah has graced, John is the normal translation, 19:17. The site is about 200 meters from the garden tomb where the body of Yeshua was laid after his death. See the photograph on the website. Next point, stake, not cross. In considering what follows, it is important to recognize that Yeshua was executed on a stake and not a cross. The cross is a pagan, that is, satanic symbol. See ETI, endtimeissueministries.org, not cross. Just look for the webpage, not cross, towards the bottom of the website. The Greek word translated cross in the New Testament is staros, meaning stake. Look for staros on Wikipedia. Hermeneutic stackexchange.com questions 36001. The Greek word staros, does it mean cross or stake? A stake is a length of tree trunk. See the artist's impression on the website. So what we see here is that Yeshua died at a very clearly recognized location outside Jerusalem. It's physically It's called Golgotha in the Gospels, meaning skull hill, and the hill is recognizably looks like a skull. Look at the photograph on the web page. In point number 7, the stake was precisely above the Ark of the Covenant. Ron Wyatt discovered that the stake on which Yeshua died was precisely above the Ark of the Covenant, which was in a cave about 20 feet below the execution site. Precision arrangements for Yeshua's death. Ron was shown by the Almighty where the Ark of the Covenant was located. As he excavated to reach the Ark, he exposed an execution site with 4 stake holes in the rock. The uppermost hole, higher up the rock face, and with a crack through the hole, with a black stain running down the crack. There was also the remains of a building of worship with an altar stone and a large round stone, which turned out to be the stone that was rolled in front of the burial vault where Yeshua was placed after he died. The so-called Garden Tomb is about 200 meters, from the execution site. Ron tunneled through the rock until he eventually found a rock-filled chamber and discovered the temple furniture, including the Ark of the Covenant, under coverings and rocks. The crack from the stake hole entered the cave through the roof, and the stone lid over the container of the Ark of the Covenant was also cracked, such that a black stain was present in the crack in the ceiling, on the side of the crack in the cover, and on the mercy seat. Ron took a sample, and laboratory testing established that this was human blood, but that it only had the chromosomes from the mother. There were no chromosomes from the father, only the one chromosome necessary for male gender. This verifies the virgin birth of Yeshua. See the artist's impression on the website. The truth about Yeshua's death above the Ark of the Covenant only became known in 1982. It is vital to understand that the truth about Yeshua's death and the blood on the mercy seat only became known via Ron Wyatt in 1982. Before that, there was no knowledge of this that I'm aware of. It is also important to understand that only Ron Wyatt saw this reality. So one is reliant on the testimony of the Almighty through his set-apart spirit to confirm this. Accordingly, there is all sorts of wrong thinking and attribution of magical properties to Yeshua, etc., that has seriously corrupted mankind's understanding of these issues. Then it's important to note that this took place over a kilometer from the temple. The execution site adjacent to the site of the Garden Tomb is located over a kilometer from the Temple Mount. I've been there. So major logistics were required to transport the Ark underground from the temple before its destruction to the cave where it was hidden. So there's a key point here. All that I'm sharing with you is reality about what happened when Yeshua died. It created legal contract in the spirit realm without any human being other than Yeshua knowing what was going on. And this is really important to understand about the things of Yah. You don't need to know what's going on for Yah to do what he wants to do, provided he's got somebody like Yeshua to work with. So don't look at what you can figure out and see for yourself. You need to get close to Father. You need to build a deep relationship with him. Point number 10, Warren of Tunnels. Ron subsequently established that the cave or chamber was in a warren of tunnels that ran from under the Temple Mount, and therefore the temple where the Ark of the Covenant was located before it was removed. In other words, the Ark had to be transported over a kilometer through this maze of tunnels to the cave where Ron Wyatt found it. This means that there were serious logistics in getting the Ark to this location. Remember, the Ark was quite sizable and quite heavy, solid gold, the cherubs. The caves result from the excavation of limestone for construction. So the cave where the Ark was hidden was excavated by human beings exactly under the site where hundreds of years later the execution site would be located. This is no coincidence, folks. This is very careful long-term planning. Then Jeremiah, who hid the ark in 586 BC. Ron established that Jeremiah, who you may know him as Jeremiah, meaning whom Yah has appointed, hid the ark in about 586 BC, immediately before the invasion of Jerusalem by the army of Babylon. What is important to note here is that the Almighty had to have an exact plan at the time Jeremiah who did this as to where Yeshua was to die and the manner in which he was to die. And you also need to understand that by extension, Yeshua knew where he was going to die, and he knew how he was going to die at the very least 586 years before he died. And in actual fact, probably a whole lot longer, because the caves had to be excavated, the Ark of the Covenant had to be made, etc. Folks, this is profoundly important. Then, led by the Spirit of Yah, Yirmiyahu had to be led by the Spirit of Yah through the maze of caves to find the exact cave under the site on the right, on the side of the hill called Golgotha, and on the side of the main road out of Jerusalem. It is highly unlikely that there was any map of the tunnels or any other way that Jeremiah could have found the exact cave without being led by Yah. Again, this requires that Yah knew then his exact intention for the death of Yeshua. In the Roman execution site, the Romans had to have established an execution site at the exact location. So one has to conclude that the Roman leader who designated that precise location for an execution site must have been led by Yah. Then the new stakehold directly above the ark. There were three stakeholds on the same level, and then the hole for the stake on which Yeshua died was freshly excavated so that it was exactly above the ark that no one knew was there. The soldier who directed this also had to have been directed by Yah. See the artist's impression on the website. Folks, this is so, so important. Yah led human beings every step of the way to prepare for this. This is not some random coincidental confluence of events. This is a carefully planned, carefully directed progression of happenings that ended up with a slot in the rock directly above the Ark of the Covenant, about 20 feet underground. And nobody knew the Ark was there. When they put the Ark where they did, nobody knew where it was on the surface. Nobody knew about the execution site. It's amazing stuff, folks. Then Yah removed his set-apart spirit for Yeshua to die. Yeshua was filled with the set-apart Holy Spirit of Yah, Matiyahu 3:16, which came upon him when Yehuchanan, John, immersed him. As such, it was not possible for him to die. When the suffering was complete, Yah therefore removed his spirit from Yeshua, and Yeshua cried out, "Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani? Why hast thou forsaken me?" Meaning, "My darling, mighty one, my darling, mighty one, why hast thou forsaken me?" Matiyahu 27:46. In order for there to have been water and blood to flow from the wound inflicted by the soldier with his spear, Yehuchanan 19:34, Yeshua died of a ruptured heart. So great was his grief at being deserted by Yah. Look on the internet, we'll go and look at the article on the website. There's a link there. YWMMadison.org, Jesus died of a broken heart, the medical cause of Jesus' death. This was necessary for there to be sufficient blood, thinned by water, to flow about 20 feet down the earthquake crack and onto the mercy seat. There was no margin for error. The sighting of the stake hole was miraculous. Folks, in fact, every step of the way, what we're talking about miracles here. We're talking about the divine intervention of the Almighty Creator to set up an extremely specific set of geometry, a very specific set of arrangements, a very specific plan of action in order to accomplish a very specific purpose. Then the earthquake split the rock. As Yeshua died, an earthquake split the rock mass through the stake hole all the way down to the cave and cracked the stone lid on the stone box in which the ark was hidden. Psalm 22, 1-31, Mark 15, 33-41, Luke 23, 44-49, John 19, 28-30. Now, from the sixth hour there was darkness over all the land unto the ninth hour. And about the ninth hour, Yeshua cried out with a loud voice, saying, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani? That is to say, my El, why hast thou forsaken me? Some of them that stood there, when they heard that, said, This man calleth for Elias. And straightway one of them ran and took a sponge and filled it with vinegar and put it on a reed and gave him to drink. The rest said, Let be, let us see whether Elias will come to save him. Yeshua, when he had cried again with a loud voice, yielded up the ghost. And behold, the veil of the temple was rent in twain from the top to the bottom. And the earth did quake and the rocks rent. That's Matthew 27, verses 45-51. Note that the correct translation of El is my darling mighty one, or my darling, demonstrating the depth of the relationship that existed between Yeshua and Yah. The veil of the temple was torn from the top to the bottom, and it said that the veil was a woven woolen item, and I've once read that it was about 3 inches thick. It's a massive force, and very specifically was torn from the top, so not by human beings. Yah tore that veil. Then Yeshua's side was pierced. After Yeshua died, a soldier pierced his side with a spear so that blood and water flowed down the stake, down the earthquake crack, and onto the mercy seat, formed by the lid of the Ark of the Covenant, Yehuchanan 1934. But one of the soldiers with a spear pierced his side, and forthwith came there out blood and water. The key thing here is that blood reached the mercy seat. Without that blood, there was no new covenant, there was no new high priest, there was no atoning sacrifice. Then, broken heart. Yeshua died of a broken heart at losing the presence of Father. And so all the blood in his heart was released and water was released. This is necessary for sufficient volume of blood and water to run all the way down the crack. See the article cited above. This was independently verified by Ron Wyatt. And then only the female chromosomes. The blood discovered by Ron Wyatt on the mercy seat only contained one set of chromosomes, the female set, proving that Yeshua was born without a father. So, again, folks, just notice the very, very careful planning here. Very specific planning. Right down to the level of Yeshua dying of a ruptured heart. He was so filled with grief that his heart literally burst. Terrible, terrible pain. And he did that willingly. He did that knowing that that had to happen. Please try and understand how significant this is. In point number 20, not a single sin. Remember that Yeshua lived and died without committing a single sin. This is one of the three miracles of Yeshua. It is important to note that he was mocked, beaten, falsely accused and tortured, and yet he did not sin. That is a remarkable exercise of his will and self-restraint, and certainly qualifies him to be king of all human kings and lord of all human lords, and seated on the highest throne in heaven as the most powerful created being in all of creation. The veil in the temple was rent as Yeshua died. Remember Mark 15, 37, 38. And Yeshua cried with a loud voice and gave up the ghost, and the veil of the temple was rent in twain from the top to the bottom. This revealed that there was nothing in the temple, as the Ark of the Covenant and all the temple furniture were in the cave 20 feet under the stake on which Yeshua was hanging, and nobody knew that. This also signified that there was now a new high priest and a new priesthood, and we no longer required a human priest to officiate on our behalf, because Yeshua died so that he became high priest and we might officiate on our own behalf. If you don't understand the full significance of the bread and wine that we glibly refer to as communion, I hope that this is giving it a new meaning for you. Yeshua went through this whole thing, shed his blood, and died this terrible death in order for you to be able to take bread and wine, pray over it, and have your sins forgiven. It's massive stuff, folks. It really is. Filled with the Spirit of Yah. It's important to note that Yeshua was filled with the Spirit of Yah when Yehuchanan immersed him, and that it was the Spirit of Yah in and on Yeshua, the anointing, incorrectly Christ, that performed the miracles and spoke through Yeshua. So it was Yah, not Yeshua, who performed the miracles. And Matiyahu, Matthew 3:16, and Yahushua, when he was baptized, went up straightway out of the water, and lo, the heavens were opened unto him, and he saw the Spirit of the Almighty descending like a dove and lighting upon him. And it's really important to understand that Yeshua was filled with the Spirit of Yah more than any other human being before or after him. He was instantly resurrected. When Yeshua died, he left his body and was instantly resurrected into heaven, because he had no sin, and therefore death had no hold on him. This immediately qualified him as the firstborn from the dead, and qualified him for the highest throne in heaven, and the most glorious body and most powerful position closest to Father. The Lamb of Yah. It is important to remember that when he immersed Yeshua, Yehuchanan proclaimed Yeshua to be the Lamb of Yah. Remember that Yehuchanan was a member of the priesthood, so he had the authority to do this. The next day Yehuchanan seeth Yeshua coming unto him, and saith, Behold the Lamb of Yah, which taketh away the sin of the world. This made Yehoshua the Lamb of the offering provided by Yah. This was necessary in order for Yeshua to fulfill the procedures laid down by Moshe, in order to be the perfect Lamb of the offering, and induct a new priesthood, a new covenant, and an atoning sacrifice for sin. So when Yeshua died, his spirit went to the gates of death, and death said, you can't come in here, you don't have any sin. So he went straight to heaven. He didn't spend 3 days wandering around somewhere, he went straight to heaven, and then after 3 days and three nights, he manifested to his disciples. The Lamb of the Offering. The night before he was betrayed, Yeshua proclaimed that the bread and wine were an acceptable proxy for his flesh and blood, and therefore for believers everywhere to receive forgiveness of sin. Matiyahu 26:26-28. And as they were eating, Yeshua took bread and blessed it and brake it and gave it to those who followed him and said, Take, eat, this is my body. And he took the cup and he gave thanks and gave it to them, saying, Drink ye all of it. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. This prepared the way for Yeshua to become the atoning offering for sin the following day, and for us to have access to that offering through bread and wine. This is an absolutely critical element of the spiritual legalities relating to the ministry of Yeshua. This allows you to officiate for your own release from sin at any time, and whenever necessary, with no requirement for an intermediary priest or similar. Then 26, Yeshua was and is 100% human. In considering all these points, it is vital to recognize that Yeshua was and is 100% human. He was born of a human mother with a relatively minor creative miracle, and he lived as a human. If he were not 100% human, he would have had no authority on earth, and he would have no authority now. Yah gave authority on earth to Adam. Adam gave that authority to Satan when he rebelled and ate the forbidden fruit, and Yeshua regained that authority by living and dying without sin, and then delegated the authority to those who follow him and live a sinless life. Yeshua was born of a virgin, so no bloodline curses. Because he was born of a pure virgin, Yeshua did not inherit bloodline curses, which would have happened with a human father. Point 28, Judas, Yehuda, did Yah's will. In all of this, it is vital to understand that Yehuda, Judas Iscariot, was led by Yah to betray Yeshua. Then one of the 12, called Yehuda from Kerioth, went unto the chief priests and said unto them, "What will you give me, and I will deliver him unto you?" And they covenanted with him for 30 pieces of silver, and from that time he sought opportunity to betray him. Matthew 26:15. Note also that filled with remorse, Yehuda of Kerioth, Judas Iscariot, subsequently killed himself. Matthew 27:3-5. Then Judas, which had betrayed him, when he saw that he was condemned, repented himself and brought again the 30 pieces of silver to the chief priests and elders, saying, "I have sinned in that I have betrayed the innocent blood." And they said, "What is that to us? Seek thou to that." And he cast down the pieces of silver in the temple and departed and went and hanged himself. Note further that Yehoshua forgave all who dealt wrongly with him, Luke 23:33-34. And when they were come to the place which is called Calvary, there they impaled him and the malefactors, one on the right hand and one on the left. And then said Yehoshua, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." So on this score, one can be confident that Yehuda of Kerioth was forgiven, and therefore in all likelihood is in heaven today. Folks, the intricacies of the spiritual realm legalities are significant. Then Yeshua provoked his own death. It is vital to recognize that Yeshua provoked his death. He repeatedly got in the face of the high priests, the scribes, and the Pharisees, calling them whitewashed walls, overturning the tables of the money changers in the temple court, breaking their man-made laws, etc. It is vital to understand that Yeshua did this entirely deliberately in order to provoke them to kill him. Then Yeshua only ministered for 3.5 years. It is important to understand that Yeshua only ministered in the power of the Spirit of Yah for 3.5 years, a very short period of time. The longer he stayed, the greater the risk of sinning. He came with a very clear objective: live without sin, demonstrate what is possible, provoke the high priests, scribes, and Pharisees, and die on a stake at Golgotha. Simple and clear-cut. Then Yeshua could have called on 12 legion of messengers or angels to deliver him. It is vital to understand that as a friend of Yah, Yeshua was allocated 12 legion, somewhere between 12 times 1,000 and 12 times 6,000 messengers who could have rescued him at any minute. It is vital to understand that Yehoshua went to the stake entirely voluntarily, and he stayed till he died entirely voluntarily. See Matthew 26:53. "Thinkest thou that I cannot now pray to my Father, and he shall presently give me more than 12 legions of angels?" There are three pages further, so that's the end of that point. There are three pages further in the article, which I don't have time to present to you now. Please visit the web page for the details. So in closing, I want to ask you, what is the state of your relationship with the Almighty Creator? I'd like to ask you to really critically examine where you are relative to Him right now. Do you talk to Him constantly throughout the day and allow Him to lead you in every possible way? Are you conscious of Him at all times? Do you worship Him at every opportunity? Do you count Him your friend? Have you clearly and unambiguously heard him call you friend? If not, you are failing in your life purpose, and you will be bitterly disappointed when you die. Folks, this is so important. The reason you and I exist is to be a friend of Yah. The whole creation is there with that one objective, to create friends for Yah. It doesn't matter if you're black or white. It doesn't matter if you're old or young. It doesn't matter if you're rich or poor. It doesn't matter if you're well-educated or you have no education, short or tall, black hair or blonde hair, blue eyes or brown eyes. None of these things that people make a thing about matter. He wants you to be his friend, whoever you are, wherever you are, whenever you are, right now. I can't stress that enough. Don't look to me and say, well, there's a friend of yours. Sure, I am. But it's available to you too. So key documents on the main menu of the website. Compendium of Important Articles, Video Why Seek Relationship, Miracle of Yeshua's Death, The Creator Desires a Deep Personal Relationship with You, 7 Components in Drawing Close to the Creator, Recommended Worship, The Creator's Name is Yah, the Eternally Self-Existing, Where Will You Spend Eternity, The Essence of My Message to Christians, all available at www.endtimeissueministries.org. Transcripts of nearly all teachings in this series are available on the website on the bottom of the radio page. Recordings of nearly all of the teachings broadcast so far are available on the radio page, and they're all available at relationshipwithcreatorradio.com. Click on the show and then podcasts, or search on Google for Relationship with Creator Radio. Books constituting a compilation of most writings published since 1998 till May 2019 are available near the bottom of the menu at the Compilation of Most Writings page. I publish regular email articles. Email me on james@endtimeissueministries.org to be added to the list, or to seek counsel or prayer or give me feedback. Visit the website and use the Google search, article keyword cloud, table of contents, and the article search to locate the information you're looking for. There's a huge amount of information there, folks. Answers probably to most questions you can think of. The Google search is pretty effective. There's about 2,400 articles, over 1,000 web pages, a lot of information there. Go and search around with Google, and you may well find the answer to what you're asking. In closing, thank you for listening. Please send me your questions to james@endtimeissueministries.org. Please email me to join the mailing list at james@endtimeissueministries.org. If you decide to draw close to the Almighty, please let me know, and we can connect by Skype, Zoom, email, or telephone so that I can help you with your journey. I hope to connect with you again next week, when we will continue to explore how to become a friend of the Creator. Work with me to make a way for Yeshua to return in victory at the end of the millennium and make his enemies his footstool. Folks, as I said a few minutes ago, it doesn't matter who you are, what you are, you can become a friend. There's an article on the website, 7 Components of Drawing Close, which sets out a whole bunch of things that you can do to come close to Father. And I strongly recommend that for your consideration. I encourage you today, right now, to decide to draw close to Father. You can say to him, Father Yah, I come to you right now. James says I can become your friend. I want to become your friend. Help me to become your friend. Show me what to do. Bring the people you want into my life. Take the people you don't want in my life out. Show me what to read. Open the doors you want open. Close the doors you want closed. Father will help you, lead you, guide you to come into relationship with him at a very deep level. The material to help you do that is on the website. I'm here to help you. james@endtimeissueministries.org. That's endtimeissueministries, one word. I look forward to hearing from you. Enjoy the rest of your day. Good night.